Our Heavenly Father, we submit this message to you. It is for your glory and for the benefit of the people that you love so dearly. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35 to 40, Amplified. Now I say this for your own benefit, not to restrict you, but to promote what is appropriate and secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if any man thinks that he is not acting properly and honorably towards his virgin daughter by not permitting her to marry, if she is past her youth and it must be so, let him do as he wishes. He does not sin, let her marry. But the man who stands firmly committed in his heart, having no compulsion to yield to his daughter's request, and has authority over his own will, and has decided in his own heart to keep his own virgin daughter from being married, he will do well. So then, both the father who gives his virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. A wife is bound to her husband by law as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry whomever she wishes, only provided that he too is in the Lord. But in my opinion, a widow is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I also have the Spirit of God in this matter. Now remember that the Israeli society, the culture, is patriarchal in nature. That is, the father in the family has the final say. In our day and age, our culture is not like that. The young people who are intent on getting married, they do still ask their parents if that is still in their culture. But the father does not have the last word in the matter. People can decide to go ahead and get married either way. So that seems to be what this is about here, where a father decides that it's better that his daughter does not get married. Obviously, parents do have insight into things, into characters, and a parent might not like the person that the daughter is or son is so keen on, because they can see character flaws or characteristics in that person that they know would not be good for their son or daughter. So, yeah, it is a good idea to take to heart what your parents say about your intended partner, if obviously you're at a stage in life where your parents are still around. Also, in the Jewish culture, was the conception that not having children was a disaster. This was true of Samuel's mother. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'll just extract a few verses from 1 Samuel 1, verse 1 to 2. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zophah in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, son of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Skipping ahead to verses 7 and 8. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? And then all know the rest of the story. I'm not going to do the whole thing where Hannah was praying in the temple and Eli thought she was drunk because she was just moving her lips without using her voice. And she said, no, she's not drunk, but she's distraught about not having children. And that's when Samuel was promised. And that's where she promised to give Samuel back to God, which she did when he was weaned. Why did I go into the children-bearing thing? Well, that's generally what happens in a marriage. Obviously, there are some childless couples, like what Abram and Sarai thought might happen, until God spoke to Abram and he became Abraham and she became Sarah. So having children, which should only happen inside of a marriage, in the context of marriage, was very important in the Jewish culture. Of course, I know of someone, a friend of mine, who is single, who adopted a baby, and that baby grew up to be a elegant young lady, and taking ballet and all that, and they're just a lovely little family. But normally, children happen within the marriage context. And in our day and age, marriage is still an important institution. And if you want to be in leadership in the church, then it's actually important as well. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 2 NLT. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So, a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Part of that, 1 Timothy 3 verse 2 in the NKJV, uses slightly different words. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. By a bishop they just meant a church leader. And there it says, the husband of one wife. Remember, in the old Jewish culture, the husband could have more than one wife, and that was legal and socially acceptable. But in the Christian church, it is monogamy, where one man is married to one woman. An interesting thing about marriage, well, it's not strictly marriage, but it's in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 7 to 12. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother. Yet he works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And that comes to the important part of today's message. Marriage between a man and a woman is what God instituted in the Garden of Eden. That was between Adam and Eve. So that was all his idea. God even said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, if a believer marries an unbeliever, they are basically inviting spiritual warfare into that relationship, because that's what it is. I know I've experienced it myself, and it is not pretty. I had a difficult marriage, and yeah. This is why I'm not that keen on getting involved again. But I have heard, and I do know, of people, beautiful Christian people, who are not only happily married, but who support each other with that agape love, that self-sacrificial love, that is gentle with each other, and that counts the other person more important than themselves. And they understand each other, and they are not unkind to each other. They are understanding, kind, gentle, and just beautiful. One example of that is our own Pastor Trevor and his wife Danita. That is an inspiration. Another example is my original pastor Glenn and his wife Jenny. They are a beautiful example of caring and sharing and just being wonderful to each other. So even though I still think single life is simpler, there is a definite case where married life can be beautiful. And if two believers support each other in their prayer time, in their Bible study time, in their friendship time, then it can be a truly encouraging and uplifting thing. And that's why, if you are single, good for you. If you are married, good for you, especially if it's with a believer. If you are married to an unbeliever, then I feel for you, because some unbelievers can be pretty harsh. Not all of them are. There are some nice people out there that are not believers, but Do not knowingly go into a marriage with an unbeliever, because you are setting yourself up for warfare. So, yeah, like Paul, I prefer the single life, but like many people, married life might be more suitable. And so you just need to do what is best for your life within your walk with our beautiful, loving Heavenly Father, our beautiful, loving Redeemer, our beautiful, loving Comforter. So live your life in the way that God knows is best for you.